You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Welcome to Midlife Side Quest Game of the Year Edition, an entire week of episodes discussing the best games of 2022. Each day, we'll be counting down my top five games of the year, as well as giving out some other honors and accolades for the video games that kept us all so entertained over the year. If you haven't yet subscribed to the show, please take a moment to do so, and I would also really appreciate it if you would leave some feedback, which you can do by leaving a review wherever you're listening to today's episode. Also, if you'd like to chat, you can find me on Twitter or Hive at MidlifeSQ. I've been playing video games for, 40 years now. And if you talk to most people who are really passionate about gaming, they'll talk about what some of the greatest years in gaming history have been. They'll talk about 1998, which saw the release of Metal Gear Solid, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, and Resident Evil 2. Or maybe 2001, which is when Grand Theft Auto 3, Halo Combat Evolved, and Super Smash Bros. Melee all came out. Everyone's going to have a different opinion on which year was the absolute best. You probably won't find too many people saying, though, that it was 2022. Last year was not a disaster by any means. There were plenty of great games to play, but a lot of the huge releases that were planned got delayed, and when you compare it to some other years, it just doesn't quite stack up. Sure, there was Elden Ring and a new God of War and a Pokemon, but the number of those big tentpole games just wasn't there. That might not be such a bad thing, though. When there aren't so many headline-grabbing AAA releases, that leaves more time to dig deep into the release calendar and find some gems that you might have otherwise overlooked. Games like Escape Academy or Tinykin. Vampire Survivors and Tunic might not have had the spotlight that they really deserved. It's not the end of the world that we didn't get the next Zelda game or Starfield. There are so many cool indies and lesser known titles that are worth your time. You just gotta go find them. On each episode this week, we're going to start off by passing out a pair of awards to recognize games that might not have made the top five list, but were still fantastic games nonetheless. And today we begin with the award for the worst game for those with acrophobia. And that goes to Dying Light 2: Stay Human. Acrophobia is the fear of heights, and Dying Light 2 had some truly, truly stomach-turning moments of climbing high atop a radio tower or parkouring along the edge of a skyscraper. These moments were truly, truly intense, and even though this award has got the word worst in the title, don't let that faze you. This game is fantastic for everyone without acrophobia because it featured great action, cool characters, and again, those moments high atop the city were just thrilling. It is a great game from early on in the year that is worth checking out if you haven't already. The next award is for Best Simulation, which this year I am giving to Arcade Paradise from developer Nosebleed Interactive. This game has you slowly transforming a grungy old laundromat into the raddest arcade I have seen since my 9th birthday party at Circus Pizza. It features over 35 arcade games to purchase and place around your arcade, each of them completely original and fully playable with high score leaderboards and all that. It's really, really cool. Spending your time playing the games themselves was a great game within a game, and it filled the time in between emptying the coin hoppers and picking gum off the side of the washing machines. I would have loved the ability to customize the layout and the appearance of the arcade more than what they allow, but that's what sequels are for. And it is still an awesome game with great retro vibes. That brings us to the number 3 game on my list of top games of 2022. And that game is A Plague Tale: Requiem. I was a big fan of the original game, Innocence, and its creepy setting, unique stealth mechanics, and interesting characters. And this sequel improves on every single aspect of that first game. You're once again playing as Amicia, who is still on the run with her brother Hugo, who carries with him a supernatural plague, which has the power to unleash a swarm of deadly rats capable of destroying entire towns in their path. The two are trying to keep a low profile while containing the plague and searching for a permanent cure. But the Inquisition is on their heels, trying to harness that power for their own dastardly goals. Three things that really elevate this game above its predecessor. First of all, the stealth mechanics have been improved with new abilities to make your way past the guards or, as a last resort, fight them. This adds new variety to each confrontation and keeps it feeling fresh throughout the game. Secondly, the improved presentation features simultaneously stunning, beautiful landscapes and vistas as you make your way through the French countryside, and also creepier moments of horror as the rats tear their way through everything from guards to entire buildings. Seriously, the game's visuals impress constantly and feature some jaw-dropping set pieces which would feel right at home in the biggest AAA games. Third is the relationship between Amicia and Hugo, which is even more heartwarming and powerful than it was in the first game. You really feel the bond between them as she tries to keep her brother safe from all of the different forces that are out to get him. Interesting supporting characters also really help to flesh out the story in a much more effective way than the last game. As I currently play through one of the other big story-heavy single-player games of the year, I also appreciate that the developers of A Plague Tale were confident in their vision and didn't needlessly overstuff the game with side quests and objectives and padded out the playtime. They told the story that they set out to tell, and they kept things tight in a way that keeps the game flowing at a really good pace. In my mind, that always makes for a much more effective experience when you're never thinking about how much longer is this game. Developer Asobo Studio has created a brilliant sequel, which is better than the original in every way, and in my mind, really puts them in the top tier of story-driven developers alongside names like Naughty Dog, Insomniac, and CD Projekt Red. Congrats to them all on what is a beautiful game and my number three game of 2022. Featured more than just great video games. So each episode this week, I'm going to tell you about some of the favorite things of the year that are not video games. And the first thing I'm going to be sharing today is the Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion Super Deluxe Boxed Set, which, funnily enough, came out on the 31st anniversary of that iconic double album. I am an unapologetic GNR fan, and weird timing aside, this is an amazing collection of one of the greatest rock albums of the 90s. It features over 7 hours of music, including remastered versions of all of the songs, as well as 2 complete live concerts, one from New York's Ritz Theater in 1991, which was recorded before the albums had dropped, and one from Vegas in 92. Their rough, wild, and fun performances, which is just the way rock and roll is supposed to be. Guns N' Roses has a crazy history, and some of their music might not have aged so well looking back 31 years later, but they are a product of their time, and I will always love them for that. My second pick here is The Batman. I am a sucker for superhero movies, but I'm usually drawn to the MCU films. DC has had such a rocky last decade with the train wreck that is the Snyderverse, and even Joker, which was critically acclaimed, I found it to be pretty predictable and kind of boring. But The Batman, on the other hand, is disconnected from the rest of the DCU films, and I think that's a very good thing. It is dark, grounded, features a great mystery surrounding a creepy new interpretation of the Riddler, and Robert Pattinson delivers as the Dark Knight big time. I've always loved Batman stories that focus more on the crime families and the underworld of Gotham City as opposed to, you know, the wild and colorful villains. So this movie, for me, was really a home run. The 1989 film will always be my sentimental favorite, and I appreciate the craftsmanship of the Nolan trilogy. But for my money, this is probably the best Batman film ever made. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I hope you tune in tomorrow for another Game of the Year episode. And then you can catch new episodes every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave a review and share with your friends. You can follow the show on Twitter or Hive, where we go by Midlife SQ. Until next time, be well and keep playing.